the bulletin. But Dave did ask me if I could substitute for him this morning. And before he made that request, he had asked me to, on the first Wednesday of the new year, to bring one of the thoughts on worship. And he asked me to consider Deuteronomy 26, which has to do with the first fruits. So I'm not going to bring in the worship aspect, only as the Spirit of God might lead. I'm going to leave the worship aspect for the first Wednesday of 2015, if the Lord permits. But this morning we're going to consider Deuteronomy 26, which tells us about the offering of the first fruits. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make a connection between the offering of the first fruits and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus as brought out in the New Testament. And I think you will find that, I hope, that by the Holy Spirit that you'll be edified. And as we bring also the person of the Lord Jesus and his work, if there's anyone here who doesn't know him as Savior and our and God as Father, we pray too that this morning might be a morning where we see the convicting power of God in lives. So open your Bibles, Deuteronomy 26. I'm going to be reading from the so-called authorized version, and in deference to those whose first language is not English, and in deference to those whose first language is English, I'm going to substitute the these and the thous for you. Okay. Deuteronomy 26. And it shall be when you are come in unto the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and you possess it, and dwell therein, that you shall take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which you shall bring of your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there. Very interesting study. The place which the Lord your God chooses to put his name. But that's not our study this morning. And you shall go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord your God that I am come unto the country which the Lord swore unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall speak and say to the Lord your God, a Syrian, ready to perish, was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God gives you and gave you, and unto your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Certainly the Lord is going to bless the reading of his word. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to minister and to share your word. We just ask now that you would speak to each and every heart here, that you would proportion to each of us according to our need. Exalt and bless your word in our midst this morning, for we pray and ask it in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The offering of the first fruit was one of the significant events in the nation of Israel. We're told in the books of Exodus and Leviticus and also in Deuteronomy that every adult male had to present himself before the Lord in the place that God chose 3 times a year. And this was one of the significant times. This period of first fruits is referred to by the Jews as the festival of Shavuot. Shavuot means, is their word for weeks, Sabbaths, and so they were to count seven full weeks during which, and Shavuot starts with the giving of the first fruit. So what Deuteronomy 26 does not tell us is when is the offering of the first fruits to be done? When did they come before the Lord? The Bible gives us 2 references as to when. And this morning what we hope to do is to show how when is important in terms of the New Testament. The first reference as to when is given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 9 says this: 7 weeks shall you number unto yourself. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as you begin to put the sickle to the corn. So when you first put the sickle to the corn, is when you're going to begin to reap the harvest. And the first day, the very first day that you put the sickle to the corn, the very first day that you begin to reap the harvest, you are to, the children of Israel were obliged to present the offering of the first fruit. So that's the first reference. I'm going to give you the second reference, but I'm going to, before I give you the second reference, I'm going to go to the first instance in the New Testament where this is important. In John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus makes a comment. John chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus was speaking. The Spirit of God teaches us that He, the Lord Jesus, was that corn of wheat or that grain of wheat that came from heaven to earth, and that He died. And that thought is brought out for us more fully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Corn that is sown, or wheat, or whatever the grain that is being discussed, when it is sown, it grows and brings forth fruit. And in 1 Corinthians 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus and speaking of the resurrection from the dead, and in 1 Corinthians 15, of course, we know as background and context, Paul is making a very spirited defense of the resurrection. And he says, well, you know, if Christ be not risen, we are of men most miserable. And he says, no, but Christ is risen from the dead. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So the first thing that we notice is that the Spirit of God in the New Testament identifies the Lord Jesus with the first fruits. And notice that there is no confusion, there is no doubt that this is a reference to the Old Testament festival of the offering of the first fruits. Notice that the Spirit of God doesn't refer to Christ as the first fruit. You notice? Not in the singular. The two occasions where it's mentioned, it says Christ, the first fruits, plural. Making it very clear that it's referring, Christ is the first fruit. But in using the plural, it makes the connection with the festival. Now, Christ, the first fruit, speaks of his resurrection from the dead. That is what the Spirit of God is leading Paul to write about here. When did Christ rise from the dead? We know, and all the Gospels are unanimous in this. Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Now we go back to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 is one of those portions in Scripture. There are many. There is Leviticus 23. There is Exodus 34. Exodus 23, Exodus 34, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16. All of which give us information on the three portions, the three times during the year when the children of Israel were to bring an offering unto the Lord. Now let's begin in chapter 23, and we're going to begin in verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the Lord. Now notice that in verse 10 tells us something interesting. Speak unto the children of Israel and say, when you come into the land. Now these instructions were given to Moses immediately after they came out of Egypt. Before the 40 years began. Now the Passover, the first Passover was celebrated in Egypt. And we know that they celebrated the Passover on occasion when they were in the wilderness. The festival of the first fruits could only be celebrated in the land. They couldn't do it before. They didn't have, there wasn't anything to harvest. They were eating manna. So, when you come into the land which I give you, verse 10, and you reap the harvest, then you shall bring the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now notice what it says here, verse 11. You shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. When are you to do that? On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Well, when is the morrow after the Sabbath? The morrow after the Sabbath is Sunday. In other words, remember the Lord, what the scripture said in 1 Corinthians 15? Paul says this. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, the offering of the first fruits could only be done on a Sunday, could only be done on the day after the Sabbath. And so for the Lord Jesus to rise from the dead, according to the scriptures, he had to rise from the dead on the first day of the week, on Sunday. There was no, for him to represent the first fruits. And so, the waving of the sheaf, and so this is the second reference that I gave, that I was going to give you. The first reference, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9, the first fruit is given when you put the sickle to the harvest. And Leviticus 23 tells us that when you put the sickle to the harvest, must begin on the morrow after the Sabbath. And the morrow after the Sabbath can only be on a Sunday. Now there's a small problem. Shavuot, which is the Jewish term for the Feast of Weeks, you'll notice that very prominently they have mentioned 49 days. You shall count for you 49 days. That is, 49 days is exactly 7 weeks. So in Deuteronomy 16 and 9, the 7 weeks, 7 times 7 is 49. And on the 50th day, they had another festival. It was the end of the harvest. 6 days, lost my train of thought. The problem we have is that according to the rabbinical authorities, Shavuot, the 7 weeks, doesn't always begin on Saturday. So that the day after the Sabbath is not always a Sunday. And I'm going to tell you why the rabbinical authorities did this and suggest to you why they are wrong. The Jews have, our brother Cohen, who was here with us, I think about a month ago, he mentioned the Tanakh, which is the Torah, the books of the law, the five books of Moses. But the Jews also have what they call the oral law. And in the oral law, we have the Talmud, and we have the Midrash. And those two together make up the oral law, which is no longer oral because now it is written down in volumes. And according to the oral law, the rabbinical authorities have given us a meaning to these 49 days. They claim that the 49 days represent the giving of the law to Moses. In other words, the giving of the law to Moses took place 49 days after the nation of Israel left Egypt. What is their basis for this? Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, the rabbinical authorities, they base their claim that Exodus 19 and verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And then in chapter 19, we know chapter 19 and 20 becomes the giving of the law. Now, you can go home and play with the numbers. But basically, here was their quick calculation. You recall that in Exodus chapter 12, God said to the nation of Israel, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So Abib, or Nisan, is the first month of the Jewish calendar. On the 14th of the month is the Passover. On the 15th of the month, it begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they count the 15th of the month, which is the, the 15th of the month is a special Sabbath. Leviticus, go back to Leviticus 23 and we will see that. You'll notice that in the Old Testament, there was the seventh day Sabbath, but they also had non-seventh day Sabbaths. And one of the there were several, but one of the non-seventh day Sabbaths that they had was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leviticus chapter 23 again. And verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Leviticus 23, verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month. Now that's the same day, by the way. The 14th day of the first month at even is the end of the 14th day, because the day ends on the at twilight, and at the beginning of the 15th day, so we're really talking about the same day. And that's why in the New Testament, you'll see that they refer to the Passover as the first day of unleavened bread. There's no confusion there, right? The first day of unleavened bread is also the end of the Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of, so verse 6, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, what first day? The first day of the feast of unleavened bread, you shall have an holy convocation, and you shall do no work therein. You shall do no, the King James says, you shall do no servile work therein. So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was always a day in which no work was done. But the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread could fall on almost any day of the week. And so, unfortunately, the rabbinical authorities have said that the day that you put the sickle to the corn, the day that you begin the harvest, is the day after the first day of unleavened bread. In other words, they said that's a Sabbath day. And since you shall put the sickle to the corn on the morrow, on the day after the Sabbath, they have chosen that day, not the seventh day Sabbath. So that if you look at the Jewish calendar today, when they complete the Shavuot, the 7 week counting, the 50th day doesn't always fall on a Sunday. But as I said, they got it wrong. Because important that, by the way, the end of that seventh, the end of those 50 days, the 49 days plus one, we in the New Testament, we call that Pentecost. Okay? The day of Pentecost was the end of the feast of Shavuot. And that's why when you look at Acts chapter 2, I don't know if the other versions give this reading, but this is why the reading of the King James is very telling. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this: when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in other words, it was coming. They were counting the days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 14, 21, and all, they got up to 49. And then on the 50th day, so that's what that is referring to. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. Now, if they were doing it right, if they were counting the morrows after the Sabbath, which is what they should have been doing, the true seventh-day Sabbath, not the Sabbath of the first day of unleavened bread, they would have gotten it right. Now, let me show you a scriptural reason why they got it wrong, and then we'll look at a spiritual reason why they got it wrong. Leviticus 23, again, going back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, look at verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Again, it's repeated. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, or from the day that you brought the offering of the first fruits, you shall count 7 Sabbaths complete. Notice, they are to be counting Sabbaths. Now, if it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, after that you're not counting Sabbaths. You're just counting days of the week. But the Bible says you must be counting Sabbaths. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after, again it's repeated, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. So that's the scriptural basis why the rabbinical authorities, they got it wrong. But for spiritual reason, another spiritual reason why they got it wrong is because the day of Pentecost, based on what we know from Scripture, the Spirit of God went to great lengths to demonstrate to the disciples that they were now in the new covenant. And we and the important day in the old covenant was the Sabbath. The important day in the new covenant was Sunday, the first day of the week. And so the first thing that happened was the Lord Jesus, as the first fruits, he rose on Sunday. And that was according to the scriptures. the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples on Sunday. Now, he may have appeared on other days, but the Spirit of God went to the trouble to record for us in Scripture that he appeared to them on the first day of the week. The Spirit of God went to the trouble of reminding us that the disciples met together on the first day of the week. And so if you follow that pattern, what about the day of Pentecost? If the day of Pentecost was followed according to what the scriptures say, then the day of Pentecost would have been on Sunday. Now, what do we have any evidence that when the true day of Pentecost, that it happened on a Sunday and it didn't happen according to the rabbinical authorities? We do. There was significant disagreement in the Jewish community about the interpretation of the Shavuot. A number of Jewish groups, even today, disagree about the counting of those seven weeks. And interestingly, one of those groups that is not in agreement were the Sadducees. The Sadducees rejected that particular framing by the rabbinical authorities, who were, for the most part, in the time of the Lord Jesus, Pharisees. Now, the interesting thing is, who controlled the temple? The Sadducees. The Sadducees were the family of the high priest were Sadducees. And so we can't say definitely, but certainly all indications are that the day of Pentecost, when the church was founded, was the first day of the week, Sunday. Psalm 118. And with this we'll have to close. Psalm 118. Now, these words that we're going to read, I'm sure you will remember from the New Testament. Because in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus refers to these words. In fact, we'll go back and look at one of them. The stone which the builders rejected, the stone which the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now notice verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now I'm going to suggest to you that this day which the Lord has made, it has several different meanings. We don't have the time to go into them. But one meaning is the day of Pentecost. Why? book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4. The disciples are before the Sanhedrin, Peter and John. Verse 8, Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now that's important. You remember Jesus Christ of Nazareth? You see, before he was just Jesus of Nazareth, but now he is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But by in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Now look at verse 11. This Jesus of Nazareth, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now when did the stone rejected by the builders become the head of the corner? When God laid that stone in Zion. Isaiah chapter 16:20. Let me find that. I keep remembering verses and Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. That stone was laid the day that God established the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ was established on the day of Pentecost. That's when that stone was laid. And so the Spirit of God says to us, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord had made. What day? The day of Pentecost. And when we think about it, we can rejoice. And we can be glad in it. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these thoughts about the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he was that grain of wheat that fell into the ground. That he died. And because of his death this morning, we have been given life. And that you have made him the first fruits of all who sleep. Christ, the first fruits, that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures on the first day of the week. Father, we thank you for these tremendous thoughts which you have given to us from your word. We pray that what we have failed to convey, that your Holy Spirit would cement in the hearts of your people. We now ask your special blessing as we dismiss from this place. Take us to each one respectively to our homes in peace and in safety. For we ask these things, giving you our thanks in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.